Presents Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercy Sisters, our programs, or about social justice. Today, my visitor is Sister Bridget Crisp. Sister Bridget, a warm welcome and hi Ramai to our radio program.
Kia ora.
Sister Bridget is a Sister of Mercy and is a trained secondary teacher. Before she became a Sister of Mercy, she worked for the New Zealand Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry. Sister Bridget is involved in creating awareness for the need of sustainability and stewardship of our Mother Earth. She is the representative and contact for the Environment and Cosmology Group of the Mercy Global Action at Mercy International Center. In addition to all these roles, she is also the convener of the Environment and Sustainability Committee of the Justice and Peace Commission of the Catholic Diocese of Auckland. She works part-time as secondary teacher and part-time in the garden at Papatūānuku Ki Tauranga Earth Promise Center, together with Sister Rosemary and Sister Teresa, who I interviewed last week and the week before last. This garden, connected to Te Waipuna Puawai in Ellerslie, is meant as a response to caring for earth and sustainable living. Sister Bridget, whereas your colleagues Sister Rosemary and Sister Teresa have a background in nursing and teaching, you are trained from a different approach to protect New Zealand from pests or diseases in animals and plants. Have you always also been a gardener?
I grew up in the context that there was always a kitchen garden, perhaps a flower garden, in my youth. And to me, that was a normal way of life. So I wouldn't call myself a gardener per se. Perhaps a bit later on that came into more of a reality.
Mm-hmm. And in your role in creating awareness for sustainability, you don't hesitate to address governments or government departments directly. Do you feel that your impact as a sister in these areas is stronger than if you were just a scientist?
The Sisters of Mercy and indeed the other major religious congregations are known for working amongst communities at the grassroots. And for that reason, we have become recognised NGOs. We have a desk at the UN. Mm-hmm. And we advocate on communities' behalf for issues that sometimes do not get the attention at local or national government level.
The representative at the UN has a direct contact to the Mercy Sisters and those who work on the grassroots.
That's correct. We have it, yeah. Sister of Mercy, she's from the United States. She is the UN NGO based in New York. She coordinates those Mercy Sisters at Mercy Global Action on issues that may be coming up, and she will take any issues that we feel that need more action at a global level. She will take those issues forward and get work happening on them.
And you do the national work?
Yes. A national work for anything to do with the environment and cosmology for the Sisters of Mercy. So I try and raise awareness amongst our sisters and our various organisations. I try and promote some sort of action, marching, or letter writing campaign, or pressure to do with the governments.
Do you meet with politicians also?
I haven't met personally with politicians because I live here in Auckland. However, I sometimes coordinate with some of our sisters on the leadership team, and they may be prepared to pick up the torch and go and knock on the government's doors, and that has been successful in the past.
That's good. Do you consider the garden project Papatūānuku Ki Tauranga Earth Promise as a model how we could act worldwide?
The garden project is a model teaching garden. What we teach is as soon as they come in, hospitality. So it's hospitality of each other and therefore bringing respect respect for all life and creation in that in that realm. So Papatūānuku is one aspect of that model. It's not a pure community garden sense in the full respect. I would encourage community gardens. I've heard stories of the success sometimes the allotments have in the UK and I think other parts of Europe, because it enables community to grow, people to support each other, neighbours to talk and find out what the issues are.
So this is more an educational project.
It's more of a educational teaching model, mm-hmm. Because we're working alongside our community outreach, Te Wai Puna Pauai, and so we bring people from there and teach them things like gardening and cooking.
So it could be the first step for a community garden.
It could be
a good model
exactly.
worldwide.
It could be. But each community, each country could have different needs,
mm-hmm.
and you need to create something that responds to those needs. So what we have here in Aotearoa won't necessarily work in London.
Yes. Different seasons. And how did you get involved in the garden project in Papatūānuku Ki Tauranga?
When I entered the Sisters of Mercy, one of the sisters had come back, and there was a discussion in terms of how can we best utilise the land, how can we be more good custodians. At that time, there was also discussions happening in Glen Innes regarding how can we better reach the needs of the community. So from those discussions, from what one of these sisters came back from her sabbatical in the States, the dream arrived of using some of the land that we had behind Mercy Parklands, Waitarua, Mercy Parklands and Ellerslie, to create not just a centre for Te Wai Puna Pauai that outside of their suburbs, but also a garden, a teaching garden, to create an element of safety and peace, mm-hmm. and serenity.
How big is the garden?
The garden itself, I haven't actually measured it.
Is it as big as a family could have a garden behind the house, or is it?
It's a bit bigger than that. If you think of the old three-quarter section, it will probably fit the uh-huh. back of the whole of the typical backyard of that.
Okay,
is probably what it will be, and part of the garden at the time when we first set it up. We were using permaculture principles, and part of the permaculture ethic is restoring a part of the land to its natural state. Because we're in the bottom of an old lake bed,
mm-hmm.
we created in the most wet patch of the property, a wetland. So the wetland is now being looked after by Te Wai Puna Pauai. We're just concentrating on the garden. So I came in. In the very early stage, the foundational stages, the physical work aspect. And the reason I came, Bridget, you've got a background in Bachelor of Agriculture. It's slightly different from what we call farm work,
mm-hmm.
as such, and working with MAF. But
MAF is the Ministry of Agriculture and Forestry in New Zealand.
Yes, mm-hmm. At the time when I entered, it was Ministry of Agriculture and Fisheries, but then they split the two. And so I fast learning course more in the horticulture, although the soil science was fine, and sort of getting the garden, working out the design for the garden with other sisters, working out how we would do the wetland and doing some of the very early gardening and cooking courses at the time before we became a separate entity.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Sister Bridget Crisp. Sister Bridget is a Sister of Mercy, and she is part of the team that I've been interviewing during the last 2 weeks. The team is working in an interesting garden project where the development of family gardens are encouraged and supported, where people are educated in sustainable living practices, and at the same time, the integrity of all life is honored. Sister Bridget, on your information leaflet, it says, Kaimara Motefana Ora, creating community around a garden and growing food for families. What made you choose this as a primary focus?
Community is about relationship. And a relationship enables respect and caring. A garden can be the seedbed for growing and fostering and developing a relationship that we would like to see extended out beyond what Papatūānuku encompasses. So we model what we see as community, and we hope that that comes out into the wider sense of the world. The food for families is fairly important. Food security is a huge issue, although a lot of people aren't aware of how important it is. I mean, for example, yesterday, October the 16th, was World Food Day, and I only heard it mentioned on the radio, national radio, at that. Yet, food security in small island countries, small independent countries, is paramount as to their livelihoods for people. And the same goes for here in Auckland. A lot of people don't know where their food comes from. A lot of people don't know how to grow their food or what to do with food that they do grow. So growing food for families, it enables a healthy relationship with the land and a healthy relationship with their food that extends into their family life and again into the community.
You only realize it if there is a problem with one country and you're short of certain vegetable, for example, or fruit, or like problems about the cocoa beans at the moment.
Yeah.
Or if you're in Europe, you have lots of apples from New Zealand, and you wonder how do we have apples in New Zealand and in Germany, whereas there are lots of apples in Germany.
Exactly.
So you're right. Today you don't know where the produce comes from.
Yes.
Except if there's a label.
And there is a perception in New Zealand that we will grow our own seed for our own food production. That's not actually the case. We import a lot of our seed. What happens when those seed stocks dry up? How do we feed our country? I know of only one seed that we actually import. Export. We grow and export seed to other countries, and that's the onion.
Really?
It may have changed. I'm sure people can feel free to contact me if that's the case. But a lot of our seed for our own food growing is actually imported from overseas. So food security is and food sovereignty is a huge issue that needs to be discussed and debated within the public arena and the community arena.
Yes, I heard that there are already some seed banks in libraries in Auckland where you can exchange seeds.
That's correct, and we're all encouraged to do some seed saving in that to try and keep some form of food security in our country.
Mm-hmm. So when you give out seed, it's your seed?
Yes, although, I mean, we're still very, we haven't had much success. we're still trying to develop the seed-saving aspect of Papatūānuku Ki Tauranga. At present, what we do is I give out vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trial and error in terms of growing for seed and trying to keep the seed to the next season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a work in progress.
But it's going on. That's good.
That's great.
Last Friday, Sister Teresa and before that, Sister Rosemary, she said Sister Rosemary was the compost queen. She and Sister Teresa was the coordinator of Papatūnuku Ki Te Orangi Earth Promise. And you are now the teacher of how to use the produce to cook it and to cook it health in a healthy way. Can you tell us more about your role in the project?
That came about, that goes back to when we first set up the garden, and essentially it was just me working as an attachment to Te Waipuna Pūwai. And so I developed just a basic cooking class for food, just sort of basically what you can cook at home. I tried to incorporate what was growing in the garden at the time, trying to make it healthy and affordable. That became popular. It's the same with the garden classes. The garden classes focused on food growing, not really flower growing, unless of course it was with companion plants. Mm-hmm. And helping them to set up their own food gardens, because there's quite a few generations of people who have not had the opportunity to have a vegetable garden in their youth or know what their food looked like. So that's how that came about, became very popular, and I was asked to sort of set that up again via our neighbours. So it's a work, a collaborative work between Te Waipuna Pūwai, Mercy Oasis and Papatūnuku Ki Te Orangi.
So you're the link person also?
The link person with that.
And I understand that you teach a group of women who come to Te Waipuna Pūwai, Mercy Oasis in Ellerslie, and you teach them gardening and cooking. What kind of feedback do you get from these women?
They love it. They generally, from what I hear back from Te Waipuna Pūwai, is they wouldn't mind. It's the same people would want to come back for the same course or over and over and over again, and they're having to put their foot down.
How long is the course?
It's generally those courses are 6 to 7 weeks. For example, I'm be starting a cooking classes soon, and although we're coming towards the end of the year, look at breakfasts, how to school lunches, work lunches, what to do with soups, meats, and going right through to pizza and bread.
Mm-hmm.
I look at recipes that they should be able to afford, but encourage them to think nutritionally as well. And I always try and, if possible, go out into the garden and get them harvesting, because a lot of them haven't actually seen their food in their natural environment. So, yes.
And they know where it comes from.
And they know where it comes from.
And they know why they have to clean
exactly
which part.
Yeah.
And do those who come to the garden, do they have to have a space for gardening at home so that they can continue their work?
Generally, those who I work with have had either no garden at all. Some have great gardens, but just wanting some skills. If they're wanting me to come in and work, help them set up a garden, I will look at what they've got. So their food gardens could range from container gardening in terms of big pots to something actually on the land. And generally I try and start small.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start something too big, then they're likely to it will get too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they start small. Once they get the confidence, then they tend to extend out.
And what do you do if someone really wants to do gardening but lives in a shared accommodation or in a flat?
I had a person who was slightly interested in coming as Sister of Mercy. She was in a flat, and she was passionate. She was great. She was passionate about gardening and set about creating a food garden. If your landlord is quite happy with you digging up some land on the property for a food garden, then that's fine. Go for it. But you can also do it with big containers as well, because they can easily move around.
Mm-hmm. And how do you motivate people, especially children, to protect the environment, to do gardening and to plant?
to motivate children, you have to get the parents alongside the children. In terms of if you're doing a food garden, and this is what I do in the gardening course as well as the cooking class, I give the advice of allow your children to help you do the garden. Get your children to grow the seed and look after the plants. But most importantly, also get them to harvest the vegetables, mm-hmm. and take them into the kitchen and help prepare them. If you were to suddenly, sit them down at the table and say, oh, this came from your garden, and they had no
connection
with the harvesting, yeah. and the cooking of it, they're not likely to eat it. But if they were involved in the harvesting, involved in the preparation, they're more likely to eat the food, mm-hmm. they're more likely to become more healthy in eating, and so their fitness levels as well as their eating healthy foods will increase. So it's a good family activity to do, and encouraging the children to become really interested in growing their own food and seeing what they can do with it. It also enables them to try out new foods. Let's try something different, mm-hmm. and investigate what we can do with that particular piece of produce.
I think it can also be the other way around, that the children motivate the parents.
That's right.
Like what Sister Teresa said last week, she said something that there were children from a school coming over and they just loved it, and they had to decide to give only one strawberry a child, yeah. otherwise it wouldn't be enough for everyone.
Yeah.
So I think that these children, when they go home, they might tell the parents, please start a garden.
Strawberry plants or something like this. And certainly the garden to table philosophy that's coming through the schools is a great initiative. Mm-hmm. And if it gets the children going home and getting them to start food gardens and the parents involved, I'm all for it, because we need to have that connection with the environment and where our food comes from.
Mm-hmm. And how could our listeners support your garden project?
They can support our garden project by volunteering their time if they like, or volunteering seedlings, vegetable seedlings, or funds so that we can buy vegetable seedlings and the materials that we use for keeping the garden going. Feel free to contact us at Papatūānuku 579-3177 and leave a message, and we hope to get back to you with any thoughts or your work included as to how you would like to help us from the garden.
That's great. And if you come as a volunteer, you might have to take your tool with you.
It might help. Yes.
So it's good to ask beforehand
We generally have one day set aside for volunteers coming in. So it pays to ring up first, and then we can arrange, negotiate.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I asked Sister Rosemary and Sister Teresa the question, what is their special wish for the future? And I'd like to ask you also, is there any special wish that you have for the future? I see that you are on the grassroots, you work with the community, you work with families, and at the same time you are active in global issues. So what would be your wish?
My wish would be that there is certainly a lot more proactive collaboration at local government level and the communities in creating food gardens, be it in some green spaces and perhaps in Auckland. I know they're doing fantastic things at Avondale Way, but we have some green spaces, putting fruit trees in and creating edible crops that the community can nibble on, mm-hmm. or learn about as they go throughout Auckland. It would be a fantastic thing to see. And being aware of to have healthy food, you need a healthy environment. So issues regarding water, water quality, and any pollution within the city, we need to be more consciously aware of them and more informed as a community in that respect.
Is there any teaching as a secondary school teacher, you know if there's any teaching in the school curriculum about what you just said, water quality and environment and protection. Is there anything
There's a little bit to do with environmental education, but it's still very small. I'd like to see a bigger component in environmental education coming through. Yes, if the Ministry of Education could put a bigger segment in the curriculum that looks at that aspect or fosters the community approach in schools, as school children are going out into the community and doing things in the community, then that might lead to more awareness and more advocacy on behalf of the next generation coming through.
I think that's a similar issue as with harvesting the plants. Mm. So if you see the children as the seed, they should not be only in one part of the city, and then the older persons in another part of the city. It's good to have it together and to see the growth and to learn from each other.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sister Bridget. Thank you for this interview. And I would like to close with a quote that I read in your leaflet. Today, humanity stands at an historic crossroads. Deepening poverty and accelerating ecological destruction challenge us to act with wisdom and maturity. How can we move forward a future where meaning, hope, and beauty can truly flourish? Thank you again, Sister Bridget.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, if you need to spend some time of discernment to find out what you can do, you might consider spending some time at our Mercy Spirituality Center. We offer Christian meditation, retreats, spiritual companioning, but we also have a very interesting program which you can access through our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And here are some upcoming events in our Mercy Spirituality Center. We have an Advent retreat with Joy Ryan Bloor from Friday 31st of October to Sunday 2nd of November with the title Contemporary Reflections on Advent and Christmas. Have a look at our website for more details. And on Friday 21st of November from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. we have a retreat day with Andrew Pritchard with the title In Seeing, a day for nourishing the hungry heart through contemplative engagement with creation and creativity. And on Saturday, 22nd of November, a repeat of the workshop Spirituality and Social Justice with Stephen Tolstrup. It will take place from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Booking is essential. And for any feedback on my interviews, please contact me at muffintalk840@gmail.com. Or if you miss any of our programs, look at our website, mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz, and the interviews are available still on planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. I wish you all a good Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you very much.